أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كلوا من طيبات ما رزقناكم واشكروا لله إن كنتم إياه تعبدون. إنما حرم عليكم الميتة والدم ولحم الخنزير وما أهل به لغير الله فمن اضطر غير باغ ولا عاد فلا إثم عليه إن الله غفور رحيم. O you who believe, eat of the pure good things we have provided for you, and be grateful to Allah if it is He who you worship. There are two commands here. One is to eat of the pure and the good provisions of Allah Ta'ala. And number two, that we be thankful to Him at all times. So we can only be thankful if we eat of the pure and the good things with relish and enjoyment, thinking to ourselves that this is the gift of the beloved. When it is the gift of the beloved, no matter what it is, but we are eating it with relish, with enjoyment, and with the consideration that it's coming from the hand of the beloved. So what comes from the hand of the beloved must be enjoyable. With that frame of mind, eating it with enjoyment and relish, then obviously when we eat with enjoyment and relish, then we'll be grateful to Allah Ta'ala. The gratitude will come from the tongue, and we will say Alhamdulillah not just as a routine, but that Alhamdulillah will come from the recess of the heart. And this thanks and appreciation, gratitude, really is the essence of ibadat. Ibadat has got two main elements. The one element of ibadat is gratitude and appreciation, and the other is self-restraint and constraint. So in so doing, you will be worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for you will be showing Him thanks and appreciation, and this will complete and perfect your ibadat. Your ibadat and your worship is not just a routine, rather with a deep feeling of appreciation and gratitude, you are bowing down and offering your service to Him. We also understand the emphasis of pure and halal food. The second verse in just one page, where Allah Ta'ala speaks about pure and halal. For the one that eats pure and halal, then there are three cash benefits and advantages that he experiences straight away. One is this: when he's eating that which is pure, clean, he's got it in a pure manner, he's not robbed and cheated anybody, not through any type of a fraudulent dealing, rather it was conforming to the Sharia, and in accordance to the teaching of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So it's pure, it is clean, it is in conformity with the Sharia, then obviously it will have the blessings of Allah Ta'ala. When it will have the blessings of Allah Ta'ala, then you will enjoy three things. One is, you have eaten that which is pure, so your ways will be pure, your ways will not be filthy, habits and behavior and conduct will not be filthy, because you've been eating that which is pure, refined and clean, wholesome, pure and halal. So your habits and your behavior, conduct will be pure. Number two, because you've been eating with relish and being grateful to Allah Ta'ala, and you were eating that which was pure and clean, so you will naturally feel motivated towards that which is pure and clean. Good ways, good behavior, and good work. Your heart will always be inclined towards good behavior, good works, and disinclined towards bad works. So this is the second cash benefit that you will enjoy. Naturally, you will feel inclined towards all that which is good, all that which is righteous, all that which is pure. And the third advantage that you will experience is your du'as will be answered. you've been an embodiment of purity and goodness, then what is coming out from you is pure. When all that which is coming out from you is pure, then the purest will accept the thing that is coming that is pure. Allah Ta'ala is the purest. When He is the purest, then He will accept only that which is pure. What is coming out from you is pure. So why will Allah Ta'ala, who is the most purest, not accept all that? On the contrary, if a person is not concerned about halal and pure things, he's not concerned about it, then he also suffers in three ways. One is his ways are not pure and clean. He is corrupt. He is dirty in his ways, in his behavior, in his conduct, in his tongue. He doesn't have a good tongue. His ways are wrong and corrupt. He thinks in a corrupt manner. There is no purity and refinement in his thinking, in his understanding and his behavior. Number two, he does not feel the motivation towards righteousness and good works. He will always feel discouraged. He won't feel good to move towards righteousness. Rather, his heart and his mind will take him towards all that which is evil, corrupt, filthy and dirty. So he'll feel very disinclined sitting and remembering Allah Ta'ala, engaging in the service of Allah Ta'ala. He will not find the motivation. He will not find that interest and that eagerness. And the third, that is the worst, his ibadat and his worship and his du'as all are rejected. He's been nourishing himself with haram, with filth and dirt. Then how does he expect Allah Ta'ala, the most purest, to accept that which is filthy, dirty and wrong? For a matter of fact, if someone offers us something that is filthy and dirty, do you expect us to accept it? We will feel that this is a disgrace. He's dishonoring me. The filth is turning towards me. So when you are not prepared to accept that which is filthy and dirty, how do you expect Allah Ta'ala to accept that which is filthy and dirty? إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةَ وَالدَّمُ. The pagans had made many things haram and forbidden of their own. Some would declare certain animals as haram. Some would declare the fat of animals as haram, like we have nowadays, some that declare cattle and cows as haram. So of their own, they declared many things as haram and forbidden. So Allah Ta'ala says, this is all corruption, it's all perversion and all baseless. The only things that Allah Ta'ala has made forbidden, amongst the things that you know of and you also consider as forbidden, one is maita, the meat of the dead. When you say the meat of the dead, one is that has died, an animal that has died a natural death. Number two, that animal that was killed not with the Shari'i procedure. That is, it was killed without the recitation of the name of Allah Ta'ala. It was killed, perhaps it was throttled, or its neck was twisted, or it was butted, or it was stunned without any slaughtering. Then this is also carrion, it is impermissible, it is haram. إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَ. An exception is a fish, though it dies naturally and it is not slaughtered, then to this is an exception, it will be permissible. وَالدَّمَ, similarly flowing blood, except at the time of dire need, where an experienced physician tells you that you will have to have some blood transfusion. So as a matter of life and death, and where circumstances become very much tight for you, and there is no halal alternative, then to have blood transfused is permissible as well. Then وَلَحْمَ الْخِنْزِيرِ, then the flesh of the swine, whether that swine was eating naturally of filth and offal, or it was artificially fed on things that were pure and clean, the very fact that it is a khinzir, it is a swine, in its nature it is dirty and filthy, it is inclined towards filth, it has a great relish and inclination towards human excreta naturally. So it is filthy through and through. So everything of that khinzir and swine is haram and forbidden, be it its bones, its cartilage, its tissue, or its hair, what we call bristles, all are impermissible. وَمَا أُهِلَّ بِهِ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ. And the animal that is slaughtered, when it's slaughtered, invoking the name of other than Allah Ta'ala, whilst it's being slaughtered, then a name other than the name of Allah Ta'ala is being invoked at the time. So this is also impermissible. This was also a pagan Arab custom that they would make some offerings for their idols and for people, for their leaders. And they would take the name of the leader or of the idol or the false deities and gods at the time of slaughter. So this was one way, one of the haram and wrong ways. The other way, what we find up to this day, is like you find non-Muslims making offerings to their idols. They give it away to their leaders or their pundits, etc., and expect them to offer it to Allah, or to offer it to their idols. So this is also impermissible and haram. فَمَنِ اتُّرَّ غَيْرَ بَاغٍ وَلَا عَادٍ. But the one that is forced, he is not eating that willfully, nor transgressing due limits. So it isn't that he is eating what he is eating willfully and happily, but circumstances are forcing him. It's a life and death circumstance. He's been starving. There is no other food available but that haram. To save life, he's eating something. غَيْرَ بَاغٍ. Whereas he's got no relish, no inclination towards eating it, nor is he transgressing due limits. He's eating more than what is required. He's eating something haram, but just to save life. Under circumstances have driven him to eat this, then he is free of any guilt and sin, for Allah Ta'ala is most forgiving and most merciful.